waking you up like no one else. Here's Gruber.
Welcome back to it on a Thursday, the 26th of April. Glad to have you here. My next guest has been on the inside of politics for years and years. I mean, he's as well-connected as anyone I've ever met, certainly in Michigan and well beyond that. Bill Ballinger was the editor of Inside Michigan Politics, a newsletter of Michigan politics until January 2016, and previously served in the Michigan House and Senate. Bill, welcome back.
Glad to be with you, Steve.
Glad to have your voice back here on the program. I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been?
I've been great.
Good to hear that.
We got a podcast every Friday, archive, the Friday morning podcast, the Ballinger Report website, so I'm plenty busy.
So you got a lot going on, and I think we might have more to talk about on that front the next time we get together. But right now, let's focus a little bit on political races here in Michigan. Man, it is an active political year, to say the least. You got a whole herd of people running for governor on the Republican and Democratic side. You've got a couple of Republicans vying to challenge Debbie Stabenow come November, and a whole host of ballot initiatives coming. What attracts your attention the most these days?
For one thing, I think the Democrats have come up with a record number of women candidates running for the state legislature. I think they've got something like 155 altogether running for various offices, state Senate and state House, total of 148 seats in the legislature. That's pretty big. The so-called blue wave we keep hearing about, which is fueled basically by female activism, it manifested itself at the filing deadline on Tuesday.
Hey, it may have, but that blue wave seems to be shrinking a bit in national polling anyway. It's fading back. And then I look at the race to become the Democratic nominee for governor, and I look at the latest polling coming out of MRG as the latest polling I see. And Sri Thanadar, who has spent a tremendous amount of money on quirky ads, I think is fair to say. I think they're interesting because they're quirky and they get in people's heads, and therefore his name recognition has gone way up, and he the last time I looked was leading the Democratic field. Of course, the numbers are small. What do you make of that?
Well, he, no question, has projected himself into the conversation just in name ID and prominence through these TV ads. I mean, he said at the beginning of his campaign 5 months ago when he started, he was going to put about $5 million of his own money into the race. Estimates are he spent at least $1 million of that so far in the ads, and he is now something like 25% better known, according to the MRG poll, than Gretchen Whitmer, who is considered the favorite, the establishment anointed candidate, who is pretty much tied with Thanadar in the polls that have been taken with a lot of undecided. They are neither one of them, you know, lighting up the scoreboard, because Whitmer isn't known and Thanadar, you know, is known only slightly through his ads, and people don't have a strong opinion about him.
Well, let me ask you this, because he's been on this program three times now, I believe, in the last month or so. He's been here a few times. Gretchen's been here one time. Gretchen Whitmer has. But Thanadar is kind of a far-left candidate. He is for single-payer health care. He is for free education when it comes to college education. He is opposed to a whole host of guns, you know, the whole anti-gun movement that came out of the shooting in Florida. He's all on those things. And it makes me wonder if Gretchen Whitmer is the favorite, and I believe you're probably right, she still is, but she seems to be lagging some. Is he going to drag her to the left? And is it a tenable position for a general election for either one of them to go that far left, to talk about single-payer health care, to talk about, you know, banning AR-15s and that sort of thing in Michigan? Does that work?
It's probably not going to help them to go too far left. And secondly, it's just unrealistic to anybody who knows Michigan politics, and for that matter, may vote. They realize if Thanadar and or Whitmer, or we shouldn't forget El Sayed, Abdul El Sayed, who is a third candidate in the race, get in the governor's office, there's no way any of those things they're talking about are going to happen. It's just not going to happen. The Republicans are almost certainly going to be in control of the state Senate. That would stop it right there. Whether or not the Democrats are able to take control of the state House remains to be seen. But, yeah, the Democrats have got to be a little careful on this. Tanadar is claiming, of course, that he's very Bernie-like. He points to facts. He says, I'm the only candidate running for the Democratic nomination who voted for Bernie Sanders. And he's probably right, because El Sayed was living in New York at
yeah.
the time, and Whitmer was a Hillary Clinton supporter. So he's identifying himself with the far left, and yet the progressive caucus of the Democratic Party refused to let him speak to him in Detroit at their recent state convention.
That's crazy. So he will. So you've got that candidate identifying with Bernie Sanders, and then I'm hearing the new ads from Sandy Pensler running for U.S. Senate as a Republican in the hopes of challenging Debbie Stabenow, identifying directly with Donald Trump.
I know. Well, I'll tell you, these politicians are shameless, Steve. They'll do anything.
I can't believe that. Yeah, I can't believe that.
I don't think Sandy Pensler is a natural Donald Trump supporter. And, in fact, he made critical remarks about Trump during the 2016 campaign. So, but he's, you know, got to get some traction with where the energy is in the Republican Party right
now. Well, that tells me something, though. Pensler also came to the race with a lot of folding money of his own, right? I mean, he's well-funded,
right,
and he's well-researched, and he's doing his polling. I'm sure they're doing internal polling there. He knows what he's doing. John James, a formidable candidate, but I got to believe that the Pensler people feel that they're in pretty good position here. And if they're identifying with Trump, they're learning something from their polling that's making them do that. They're not just doing that randomly, are they?
Oh, no, I agree with you. I think that they're doing it from, you could say, their polling. I don't think they have to poll too much. There are polls all over the place out there, even before Pensler got in the race, that show that Trump is still very popular with the Republican Party base. And they're the people who are going to be voting in a Republican primary in August, not Democrats or independents. If Pensler can win the nomination in August, then he can worry about where he goes after August up until November.
I got you. So real quickly, we got about a minute left here. Bill Ballinger here on the program. What about that race on the Republican side for governor? Where were we in that race?
Well, the most recent development in the last 24 hours came after the filing deadline, where Patrick Kolbeck, the Libertarian Tea Party state senator from Western Wayne County, made comments linking Abdul El Sayed, one of the Democrats, with the Muslim Brotherhood, and accusing El Sayed of being part of some master plot to take over the United States. And that has gotten huge blowback from everybody, even the Republican Party leadership. And so that is a big development. But, you know, Schuette and Kelly, Bill Schuette and Brian Kelly are the front runners. Obviously, Hines and Kolbeck, Jim Hines, a Saginaw obstetrician, and Patrick Kolbeck lag way behind in low single digits in all the polls. Kelly has just not gotten any traction. His only chance, it seems, at this point would be if Schuette somehow implodes or loses strength, because Schuette is basically led in the polls all the way along.
All right. Bill Ballinger, editor, former editor of the Inside Michigan Politics newsletter. You do that podcast real quickly, your website, so people can find it.
Yeah, theballingerreport.com.
There you have it.
Theballingerreport.com.
Theballingerreport.com. Bill, good talking to you.
Great talking to you, Steve.
There you have it. Bill Ballinger, everybody. Theballingerreport.com. Check it out. We'll be right back on the Steve Gerber Show.